Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show presented by Mel Hamlin Ford. My name is Phil Nightingale. I'm the general manager, and Josh Proffitt, our service director. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Beautiful day out in Cake Land.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Santa gives me a crap. Santa, you know what I mean? Hey, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show. It's Phil and Josh here to answer your questions. It's a call-in show. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, anything whatsoever. And it's very simple. 316-462-3673. All you got to do is dial up that number. You'll come into the main switchboard here at the dealership. The girls will get your number in and they'll patch us through. Anything ailing your car and something you don't understand, or just a comment or something to talk about in the automobile world. Can be the new products, the new Bronco, the new F-150, the new Mach-E. And Ford announced today, this week, we've got the new little compact truck coming called the Maverick. So if you want to talk about that, MH Ford Racing, or if you want to talk about that banner hanging behind us, the Renegade Fuel. I'd like to talk about that a little bit and let everybody know what's going on with Renegade Fuel and clear the air a little bit. We put a Facebook post out there on that earlier this week and got quite a few comments and stuff there. So I want to clear the air on Renegade and where we're at with that situation. But anyway, 316-462-3673 is the number to call in and get this great price package. And we're live on Facebook and YouTube. So like us on Facebook would be great. But YouTube live, please go over there and subscribe for us. We're trying to build that up to 1,000 likes. We've got all kinds of likes on Facebook, but we'll get them over on YouTube so we can do some more things with this show. So as Josh, as always, for each and every caller, what are they getting that price package?
Well, we're going to mail it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamlin Ford. While we're performing that, we're also going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components, making sure that vehicle's ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive $10 to Mel's Diner so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner, as well as complete nitrogen so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer for your vehicle, as well, and a BG products package, which is going to consist of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then a can of CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right, sounds good. 316-462-3673. Let's get the phones ringing, and love to give away these price package for each and every caller. So anyway, Josh, a few things. Let's get clarified real quick.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Renegade Fuel, but real quick, we've talked on the show many times already about Team 3J and Team O2, Tanner Mullins, headed to Bristol.
Uh-huh.
We pulled the plug on that earlier this week, and I'm sure there's a lot of questions about why we did that and everything else, too. And then, so I'm going to tell you right straight up, we heard a lot of issues with motors at Bristol and just did not want to take and risk a chance of having that issue at Bristol and hurting our season moving forward. You know, Tanner is running real hard with USMTS, and we're going to run some different stuff with IMCA and USRA and, of course, the USMTS that comes around here close. And if we lost a couple motors out there, it would be probably hard on our season and stuff. So we decided if we heard the failures that were happening out there at Bristol, it was time to pull the plug, especially being that far away and everything else too. So we'll see how they do out there and what happens, and maybe we'll learn something, and hopefully we'll do it next year and we'll buzz back after we learn a few more things. But we just did not want to take the chance of losing a couple motors that everything seems to be happening out there. I mean, there's polls out there how many motors are going to lose at Bristol, and just wasn't ready to do that. That Bristol thing was more of a fun thing than a competitive thing, and wanted to go. So I hope everybody understands why we're not headed to Bristol. I will be watching. I will be seeing what's going on, how these things do. I will promise you that from that standpoint too. So wish we were at Bristol. Can't tell you that. It's my favorite racetrack track to go to, but just not going to make it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, like you said, it was more of just for the experience is the main reason going out there too. And to bet that much or gamble that much on to have an experience and ruin the season or get the season off to a bad start like that. I can understand that.
Yeah. So anyway, good morning, Delbert. Good morning, Jay. Thanks for watching everything else too. And Delbert, as always, helping us over there on YouTube Live. Please jump over there and subscribe. Let's get this thing moved up on some list deals so we can do a few more things with it. So anyway, next thing is, as you all see, if you're watching, the Renegade Fuel flag hanging behind us, and want to clear the air on a few more things of that situation, because we made a post about we're now handling the Renegade Fuel and a few questions came about of that situation. And yes, we are still carrying VP and we're still carrying Sunoco. This is just an added bonus to our situation, and it's kind of one of those deals is we're trying to make sure we can take care of all the racing needs from every angle, all that sort of thing. The it's kind of like selling Hoosier drag slicks and Mickey Thompson drag slicks. Yeah, I'm very partial to Hoosier naturally, but I know there's some guys that just want to run the Mickey Thompson, so we have those for sale. It's the same difference over on the dirt track side when we have the Hoosiers over there, and we also got the American Racers. And you know what? We got to sell American Racers right along with that because they run them out here at 81 and made some tracks around us. Got to have them all.
Just here to support the sport from that side of things.
Yeah. Later in the show, Terry Howe from Renegade is going to call us, but I want to kind of clear the air a little bit. Is Renegade was not happy with what was going on in this area. They contacted us to ask us to sell their products. And so we got on the phone, and I had a conference call with several of the Renegade people and talked about their philosophies, talked about what they were doing, talked about what we needed, how this program worked. And it just seemed like a natural fit for us. And I know some people are misunderstanding out there what happened, why we got that program. And yes, we do have a big area that we are the only dealer. That was part of my program. If I was going to jump in with them and make an investment into the product and make it into inventory, that I needed a secure area, which I did get that. So we do have about 100-mile radius around the store that's the place to come get your Renegade fuel. I promise you we'll stock it. We'll have it available. If for some reason we run out, we don't got to go very far to go pick it up and get it back here for you. We'll do that until we learn what everybody's going to want and need, because there's a lot of products here from their fuels, their oils, and their cleaners from that part. So anyway, got a few questions coming up here. I think, Oh, working on the wiper on Delbert. It's okay. You got Delbert all fixed up on the wipers.
Last Oh, yeah. I sent him that deal. So that worked out for him. I didn't hear back from
him.
Yeah,
he did say they're working perfectly. All right, Delbert, great. Good for that. Glad we got you fixed up on that deal, too. So
good.
Anyway, 316-462-3673. Let's get the phones ringing. We're going to give away some great prize packages and buy it over $130. And who knows? You might even get a free diagnostic out of the deal, too. So anyway, Josh, what's new and exciting in the shop this month? Anything happening there from that part, or anything that specials?
You know, again, this week, just run across another vehicle on just maintenance intervals. And I thought, you know, it'd be a good chance to talk about intervals, mileage intervals. And I guess the misconception out there of when to service vehicles or when to service a vehicle. And just from my perspective on a daily basis, I can go back in the shop and walk around and see vehicles that repairs are taking place that shouldn't have. I mean, now we've got a transit van back there, another one that's from lack of maintenance is essentially going to need an engine. You know, and there's nothing really wrong with the vehicle, so to speak, other than it's just sludged up from lack of maintenance.
Yep.
And, you know, I just cannot express enough how good routine maintenance will extend the life of these vehicles, will extend the life of the components. The components will go hundreds of thousands of miles.
Well, we got proof of that. We've got many cars doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And so then you add in the confusion of commercials such as once a year lifetime oil change, or once a year, you know, an annual oil change. You had the confusion of manufacturers putting in a, you know, an oil change required light or maintenance reminder light. And then you have, you know, even owner's manuals will place out there different mileage intervals for the same service based upon, you know, like a severe duty driving or a normal driving conditions. And so I just can't express enough that being on regular routine maintenance and having a good thorough multi-point inspection done every 5,000 miles is going to be the best for your vehicle. And with having a certified technician look that thing over and tell you exactly what you need.
With you 100%, Josh, 100%. So anyway, we got a caller coming through. We'll get him patched in here real quick. We'll have James here on the line shortly. 316-462-3673. Hey, that's the number to dial up in the air. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries, whatever it might be, we're here to answer your questions and give you this great price package. And I know it's the only show I know you get paid to call in on from that part. When you call that number, it's the main store of the dealership. The girls will patch you in here, and that's what's happening right now. And we're getting ready to get James on the line.
See what's ailing James today. for his vehicle needs and concerns. But let's go to the phones, talk to James. James, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead. I think I just lost James.
Just lost him.
Yeah, I did. James, sorry about that. I switched you the wrong way there. So if you can hear us, if you would, got to run into a little bit of technical difficulty. So if you would do a favor and call back into the show, please. So, but yeah, that that interval of having that vehicle looked over and inspected, there's just no replacement for that. There's not. And as far as taking that thing and making it go the life that you want it to go, that's the only thing that's going to get it there. Well, let me rephrase that. It'll go there, but how much money do you want to spend on repairs along the way to get it to get it to that destination miles? So,
yeah, I'm with you 100% there, Josh. Well, anyway, James, sorry we pushed the wrong button here. Yeah. So call back in here. We'll get you back up on the live here and see what James has got going on there too. So anyway, Josh, building a lot of Broncos. We're getting down to the wire from when they're going to close the order bank on the 21 models. Then we're going to be going through there. We got our 50 some built. Already got a little more than that because I got a few people that just want to wait for the 22 from that part. But that's the 2-door and 4-door Broncos. And James is back on the line there. So
okay, I'll get him sent.
Get him back on the line here. And
we'll get him back through here. And man, I can't believe I did that.
we're trying to push too many buttons here sometimes, right, Josh? So we'll get James back on the line here and everything else too.
Yeah. There we go. James, you're on live on Under the Hood. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. Hey, want to talk about spark plugs. Back in the day, we used to have to change them, every 15, 20,000 miles. They were all black and everything, and I understand that. I recently brought my daughter-in-law's Hyundai in, and it's got 115,000 miles on it. And I asked over at the Quick Lane, and I got the car serviced and had them change the belt out and replace the plugs. And I said, I want to save the stuff you take off. I want to look at it. Well, when I got home, I looked at the plugs, and, man, they're pristine. Tell me about the interval plugs are supposed to be changed. And with the fuels much, much better than they were back in the 50s and 60s, what about, do we really need to change the plugs or just pull one occasionally and see how well it's doing, so to speak? Or can you tell by a machine and hook them up how well they're performing? Thank you.
Yeah, James, great questions, and I agree with you too. I kind of remember back in the day with my dad, it was every 10,000 miles. And we got to remember, biggest thing is back in the day, the way the carburetors controlled the fuel and the timing was kind of a manual mechanical. We didn't really burn very clean coming out that exhaust and everything else too from that part. Now, granted, the plugs are so much better because now they're the
iridium.
Yeah, it doesn't wear as well. James, they say it's 100,000 mile spark plugs out there. Which is, we always tell everybody somewhere around the 90 range to get out because you don't want that plug to run all the way out before it does. But I bet if we took a gap of that plug, there's probably the gap's getting a little bit wide from that part.
Okay.
But with the fuel mixtures that these computers can control and manage to keep it the right 14.7:1 ratio, it doesn't build as much soot or carbon inside that cylinder if we keep them running right as we did years ago. From that part, and that's a big change. But again, it is the better metals on those plugs from that part.
So I think in addition to that, a couple of other things too is the temperatures that these vehicles are running, the operating temperatures that they're running at now compared to years ago. I mean, it's nothing to have a vehicle run at 210 degrees from that side of things and be controlled at that. And years ago we were maybe 187, 190 back. Mm-hmm. From that side of things. And then the other side of that is, in addition, you look at the cylinders themselves and the low tension rings and the wear that we're doing on the cylinder walls. Years ago, 100,000 miles, you could tear something apart and you wouldn't see any cross hatching in the cylinder walls, and I mean, they'd be wore out, and so you would get a lot of oil that would burn inside of that, those cylinders, and that would also affect the spark plugs. But now you can tear something down at 150, 200,000 miles if it's been taken care of, and you can still see the crosshatch marks in the block where it's, you know, in the cylinder walls. So,
yeah. So I just think it's a lot.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd like to take your comment on, you know, we used to have the old points, and you put a dime in between them for the setting and one coil. And then we graduated to capacitor discharge ignition. And then we finally got up to individual coils on each plug. And has the voltage increased on that? So they spark a lot hotter. And has that played a very big role in how plugs perform and the length, the time that they are good for being in service?
Yeah, James, that's an excellent point as well. That voltage in which that plug operates has definitely increased, you know, over the years as well, for sure. And like Phil was saying, is that on these newer plugs now, or on the newer vehicles when you're replacing plugs, it's really, you're not the soot and stuff that you used to see years ago. It's not so much that. It's more the plug gap as the plug wears. We've even seen, you know, situations because years ago, again, after a while, the vehicle would just start missing out because the plug was oil fouled or fuel fouled or, you know, had build up on it from that side of things. And a lot of times now, you don't really see that being the case. In fact, we've even had some instances where the plug itself would just break if it went, you know, several miles past due of being serviced. And you don't want that to happen either, because now you got loose material in a combustion cylinder. And I mean, you'll hang up a valve or mess up a valve seat or even a piston ring or cylinder wall over a couple dollar spark plug. So, you know, not the way to do it.
When you say the gap increases, is that on the grounded side of the plug, or is that on the tip side of the plug?
You typically see it from both sides, but yeah, more so the tip side than the grounding side. But yeah, you'll see it kind of grow from both ends.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
James, that's a great question, and glad you called in.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, Josh, and it's another thing, is talking about all those different things that how things evolved, how things have changed, how things have grown to make these vehicles. You know, like you said, back 100,000 miles, we were tearing these motors down. We have to bore them 30 and 40,000 and put new pistons and stuff in them. Now you can go 150, you still see the crosshatch where there's hardly anywhere whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's just due to the technology. It's the advancements, the learning curve all these manufacturers have went through to make things easier, better. And a lot of it is that low tension rings. We didn't put so much pressure in the cylinders like we used to from that part. But again, that develops other things, the carbon building up on the backside of those rings and locking them up so much easier. That's where so many services, and if you don't maintain this vehicle and keep that oil change, that builds up in there. But that's also where BG's got their GDI service, just for that reason. You know, like I said, I've had a hard time getting onto that 5,000 mile service. Now I get it. With the oils are so much better, but man, it can't go much more than that, in my opinion, before you've got to get the filters aren't any better. You got to get the sludge out of there, and just don't let that carbon build up on the backside of those rings. So
one of the other things, you know, while we're kind of on maintenance intervals and stuff like that, I thought I'd talk about the manufacturers, the oil change required light or maintenance required light, or, you know, some of the other lights that the manufacturers will use to put in these vehicles. That light is doing nothing as far as monitoring, the wear of the oil level, 100% of that is coming on just based on algorithm. You know, there's certain information that it takes into consideration to turn that indicator on, and it does anything from just the mileage of the vehicle to, you know, distance of trips, oil operating temperatures. You know, how long you're operating at what temperatures, and I mean, I've seen those lights sometimes will go 10, 12, 14,000 miles.
Crazy.
And that's just, it's just too far. It's too far.
Remember, the manufacturer's out there to make you get through the warranty period. That's it. They're not worried about anything after that. The rest of the time, it's on you. So remember, what's in that owner's manual, we get this all the time. The owner's manual says this, I get it. That's the minimum on perfect driving conditions that you need to do to your car. I've yet to see the perfect driving conditions yet from that part of what they have in those owner's manuals. They're doing that to compete with everybody else after the show, low maintenance costs. Well, last time I checked, we got a thousands of dollars investments in these vehicles. And if you want to just run it to the ground, run it to the ground. But you've lost a lot of value, lost a lot of dollars by not maintaining these cars to help them run the miles they can run.
Very much so. Very much so. And then, you know, from the oil, the, you know, the fluid interval side, but I even go as far as the technical side or the safety related side of the components of the vehicle is driving that thing 15, 20,000 miles. The amount of things that can happen in that distance, especially if you have something that's starting to fail. I mean, it could easily go from starting to fail to completely failed to really failed. And the dollar figures that are associated with those things of continuing to drive something that if it would have been inspected at a shorter mileage interval and noted, you know, you got breakdown, expense of being broke down, as opposed to just a repair. And then if you're broke down, that's typically not at the best time, best place, from that side, as opposed to just a repair is something that can be scheduled and taken care of on a, you know, it's never a convenient time, but a much more convenient time than just, hey, I'm broke. We're on the side of the road.
Exactly. Hey, 316-462-3673. Hey, that's the number to dial up in the air. Call us in. Anything ailing your car, questions just like James, how things have evolved, how things have changed, the new Bronco, the new F-150, the new Mach-E, and also Ford this week has announced a new little compact truck we're going to see late summer called the Maverick. So excited for that too. Don't know much about the Maverick because they kept that pretty hush-hush and quiet. Just excited to have another market line, another model here to sell to offer our customers to be well more rounded from that standpoint. But hey Josh, real quick, let's thank us the people that help us put the show on.
Okay.
And of course it's Big Corner Creative. They're an advertising firm that can help you with any of your advertising needs to traditional media, social media, web page design, vehicle wraps, window tint, whatever it is to advertise your business, they're there to help you. And like those guys say, just Google us. BG Products. You know, a lot of people tell me that you just have them on your show because they pay, you know, I have BG on my show because I trust them. I love the partnership we have with them. Their products are fantastic. And Josh, as you know, as I will, that, like you say, you get what you pay for.
Yes, very much so.
Walk in a parts store and want to buy a can of fuel treatment for $1.99. Probably not going to get you very far. Pretty much for your vehicle.
You're getting $1.99.
Exactly. But those guys are a great partnership here with Mel Hamilton Ford. I've been using their products. I still think it's 1985 when I was cleaning out fuel injectors with 44K and having fun with the smoke coming out the tailpipe with those things. But, and their plants right here in Wichita, their distribution center's right there in El Dorado. And Josh got another call coming in on the phone. So
we'll get that going there.
And then, of course, GoToRent. Hey, we've got a stand here inside Mel Hamilton Ford with rental cars, 12, 15 passenger vans, Expeditions, Explorers, whatever it might be. If you don't want to put miles in your car, you just need a little bit bigger on a certain trips or whatever. We're here to stands to help you with that at GoToRent. So 316-462-3673. And we got another caller coming through here.
We do. We're getting Richard patched through. So Richard will be with us here in just a second. And we got spring break coming up. So if you need a rental vehicle over there,
definitely get with Stan. I'm hearing some of those spring break weeks are already booked.
Oh, there
you
go.
He's got them all booked out on the vans and stuff. So excited to see people getting out and about and going to different places. So.
There we go. Richard, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Last month, I had my catalytic converter cut out of my car while I was in a parking lot, and it is so expensive to go get one of those repaired with the catalytic converter, and they cut the wiring harness and so forth. So what I did is I've got a pipe just welded in there to where it used to be. Now, if you're running the car, My check engine light's permanently on now. So if you're running a car without a catalytic converter, are you doing any damage to the engine and so forth, or do you have to have that thing put back in?
Yeah, so Richard, let's first talk about what's the year of this Cadillac?
It's a 2004 Honda CRV.
Oh, okay.
Converter with catalytic converter was cut out and stolen.
Gotcha. Okay. So, yes, what I will say is that is a new enough system. Basically, there is a pre and a post oxygen sensor monitoring system for that vehicle. And so it will actually go into a closed loop after operating so much. And basically what that's doing, that's adjusting the fuel trim of the vehicle to get the best efficiency, the best fuel efficiency out of that thing. Now, yes, the check engine light is on, and with that, you're not going to have the ability, if there was something else in the computer that needed to turn a check engine light for, you know, an actual drivability concern or something that was a little more serious, it would not be able to come on with it already being illuminated. So there's that side of things, but the fuel is regulated based upon what those oxygen sensors are telling it. And so you're not getting accurate information. In fact, if the wires were cut out of it, depending on whether it was the front oxygen sensor or rear oxygen sensors, it would, so it's just going off of a defaulted value preset into that computer. And so you're not getting accurate information. It doesn't really know what to do with the fuel system.
So more than less, I could possibly just be burning much more fuel than I need to be burning.
So there's problems with both end of that. If it's too much fuel, then you're going to be producing too much carbon from that side of things. If it's not enough fuel, then you have lean conditions, and you could, extremely lean conditions, you could burn up pistons, burn up valves, and we're talking, you know, lots of miles of driving. But yes, there's adverse effects both ways of that, whether it's running too lean or too rich long term.
Well, it seems like I'm being lucky so far, because the car seems to be running almost, I mean, I haven't noticed any difference whatsoever in the drivability of it. So yeah, maybe I'm just getting lucky on it, because it seems to be pretty good right now.
Yeah. And so the effects that that's going to take, it will be a long-term effect. It will take a lot of driving, you know, for the too much fuel concerns to take effect, or, you know, a lot of drive for it to be too lean for too long before you would get effects the other way. Yeah. Both.
I tell you, my thing is I wish we could come up with some way of stopping these guys, stopping the people that are buying these converters from the guys that are stealing them, or do something, because this is a problem. I mean, we have it happen here a lot here on the lot to our lot vehicles, and also customer vehicles are getting stolen off of. We get them towed in here all the time, but there's got to be something done to the people that are, I'm more mad at the people that are giving the money for the stolen converters than I am the guy stealing it. I mean, that's where it's got to stop. The people that are buying it got to have some regulation or something put on these converters, that they got to have some proof where they come from or whatever before they start paying these thieves for these converters. That's my complaint. It's crazy with how many thousands of dollars it's just right around here in Wichita that is spent on these converters.
Well, my biggest thing too is, I mean, they maybe got, I don't, let's say it was $100 out of the deal. You know, the expense that it's going to take you to replace it by the time you do wiring and the converter and everything like that is, it's just astronomical from that side of things. But there are, Richard, a couple of different options. I don't know. There's obviously the OE replacement. The other thing is that, you know, there is aftermarket. I'd like to, you know, we'll get some information from you. I'll have one of the advisors give you a call after the show, and we'll get some detailed information on the vehicle and get you a couple of options on what it would take to fix that a couple of different ways, so that the vehicle is going to be able to do what it needs to do. So,
yep.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call.
All right, we got Terry Howe coming on here real shortly.
06.
And Terry is from Renegade, and sure, we got a lot of things to talk about with Terry and everything else. We get Terry patched in here real quick from that part, and
That the converter deal is just so expensive, you know, from that side, especially when it's not something. I mean, the car didn't break; somebody broke it for you, and
I want to catch the guys that's buying these converters, not the guys stealing the converters.
Yeah. Terry, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Really good. Hey, Terry, we kicked off the show this morning. We normally have a Hoosier banner hanging behind us, but today we threw up the Renegade banner behind us. And I kind of talked a little bit about the show. But basically you guys contacted us wanting us to represent your product. We had a great Zoom call earlier last week about it with everybody from Renegade and stuff, and I was excited to get this thing kicked off. And finally this week we got the product in the store. Made a little video and had a lot of comments out there on Facebook about the video and different things that happened with Renegade, but just excited to add you guys to our arsenal here at Mel Hamilton Ford Racing to be able to serve the racers. And I'm telling you, Terry, this stuff's flying out of here already. We already had to reorder some stuff from that part. It's going to be exciting what we can do. Can't wait to see what other products we can sell for you and what kind of volume we're going to do and what we need to stock. So I already told my guys we might have to make a few trips back and forth to Topeka, maybe pick a few up as we need to. As we're learning,
we would love that.
So anyway, Terry, I'd like you to just kind of give everybody a rundown about Renegade Fuels and your cleaners and your oils and stuff, so the listeners can hear it straight from a Renegade guy instead of hearing it from us. And again, I'm still learning your products as well as on that part too.
Well, I tell you what I would love to do is I'd love if sometime we could get an hour with Renegade on your show some Saturday morning and let the racers call in and ask all the questions that you want from the Renegade reps themselves. That would be perfect. I just want to let you know the reason why we selected Mel Hamilton Ford is because in the past, I've only been with Capital City Oil for over a year, but in the past, we've kind of struggled with having dealers down there that can have the product in, can take care of the racers like they need to, and it was just inconsistency. So I approached Mel Hamilton Ford because I knew that they were in the racing business and they could supply what they needed to supply to the racers down there instead of having people coming back and forth to Topeka to get this product, because the last thing you know is you don't want to spend $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on a car and then not be able to get the fuel that you want in that area. And so it's a perfect fit for Renegade, and it's a perfect fit for you guys, I hope, because of the way that we came together with this agreement. I want everybody to know that they are the exclusive dealer down there. We've signed a deal with them that we believe in them so much that we believe they're going to move our products, and so they have the rights to it. And I think that's important for people to know. It's an excellent, excellent product. There's a lot of technical stuff that I can't get into because I'm not a technical guy. I'm a lube and a fuel salesman, but we do handle the Renegade. So that's why I would love to get Renegade on there for an hour some Saturday and just let the callers call in and ask them anything they want, because we are excited about being partners with Mel Hamilton Ford down there.
Terry, that's a great deal we can do, because I know it's easy with technology today to get your guys on the phone where they can hear the calls and everything else too. And, you know, and maybe even come, maybe sit here and we do this show right here in my office. Of course, we go all over with this show. We've got it kind of a mobile version. We take this thing anywhere we want to go from that part. But yeah, I think that would be awesome. And the racers could call in and do whatever, you know, we could plan this a little bit so the racers know they're going to be on here. And it'd be awesome to have those guys here to help answer any technical questions the racers got or whatever. And just talk about what fuels you need to run, because you guys got a variety of fuels. And I'm still learning your products and stuff too. The next thing is not just racers. I mean, you guys got the motocross stuff that we're excited about, because with our Hoosier motorcycle tire, we're growing that market with those guys. And I hear you guys got a great motorcycle fuel too that these guys are going to love too.
We got the MX4 and the SX2. And we got the Hot Rod P97 that's just flying off the shelves. We got a lot of dealers up in Kansas City that I'm struggling keeping it in there. They are just ordering like crazy right now, because it seems like COVID hopefully is behind us and everybody's raring to go. So they are stocking up like crazy in Kansas City right now. And we've now got it into the Wichita for all you guys to be able to take it and do what you need to do with it. Just go win.
Exactly. So yeah, let's get something planned up, Terry, to get your guys on. And, you know, if that's next week,
they will actually, Phil, we're setting a date. We're trying to figure out a date in May where actually Jody will be on site from Renegade. He'll be down there all day. So we can make it a Saturday if you want and have the racers come in and spend all the time they want with him.
That's probably a good idea. That'd be awesome to do that. Let's get a date planned.
We'll give some giveaways and we'll take care of the racers. And that way they can be there on a Saturday if they're working the normal 8 to 5, because he will get that set up for you.
Well, we love to have events here, Terry, and we don't just do it lightly. So we'll have some, I'm sure we'll have some Renegades from when have everybody register and draw for some free Renegade fuels and stuff that part. But that'd be great. Let's get that date picked. Let's get it out there. He can be here live on my show from that part. That would be awesome. And just excited for this partnership with Renegade. And, you know, a few other questions, just Terry, to put it out there, just like I told everybody, you know, we We're the Hoosier distributor for the three state areas, but we still, in Mel Hamilton Ford Racing, we still sell the American Racer tires and the Mickey Thompson tires. And so right along with the Renegade, we still have our BP and our Sunoco. I know it's a competitor to you guys, but it's kind of the same thing. We're going to push your products just like everybody else's and excited to fill another gap that you guys had, plus a gap that we probably didn't know we had, missing some fuel sales that we had. And now that we've got it in the store, Terry, and like, again, I called you just when it was out yesterday saying, hey, we got to reorder some stuff because we're out already.
It's coming Monday. Fresh loads coming Monday.
So awesome. Terry, let's get those dates put together. Let's keep that out there. We'll be able to, we'll blow it up on Facebook, let the racers know. And then we've got a texting deal that we can text everybody out in the racing world, let them know that Renegade is going to be here to answer any technical needs and get all that out there. Cause I want to listen too. I want to learn and know more about your products.
And there you're out of Topeka.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Very close, very easy. So
we're excited guys. Mel Hamilton Ford. We're just trusting. We know that they're going to do a good job. We just do. They're on top of everything that they've asked us to do. We've done it. Because they are wanting it really bad for you guys. And we appreciate that as a distributor of it, you know, holding the Renegade in Kansas, we appreciate people stepping forward and actually wanting to get the product out there to the racers.
Exactly. And that's you know,
I don't think your racers understand how big that really is because you guys have been dynamite in that area.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's the thing we'll be able to do is we need to figure out ways to, because we already know how to get fuels to the drag strip for these guys, so we'll have to figure out a way to get this Renegade stuff there readily available at the racetrack for them too when you take our race trailers and our event trailers where we go. But I think it's just cool we'll be able to fill a gap here that we didn't know that we had. I know Nick Robertson, our parts department, runs your fuel and has some great testimonials with it from that part, so that'll be good to have those testimonials right along with that side of the coin. But just excited for the partnership with Renegade, Terry, and look forward to a great relationship.
Hey, Phil, one more thing I would like to add is if anybody wants to email me, I can give my email address. I will get you in contact with Renegade 24/7, and they will answer any technical question that you have. That's what's available to you racers out there. Is even if you're running one of our competitors' race fuels, that's okay. You're still a racer, and Renegade, they're racers too, so they love to talk about technical issues. They love to talk about why our fuels we think are better than the other fuels and what our fuels will do for you. So that's free to you guys all the time. Just get in touch with me and I'll get you in contact with Renegade, and they will get back to you and they will answer anything you want, because I have people down there that actually have reached out to me because they've had questions, and these guys will tell you that we are on top of it very quickly. Because we know you want the answers to those questions.
Exactly. A lot of technical stuff, a lot of things going into fuels these days, you know, with carburation and injection.
It's always a moving target.
That it is. That it is. So anyway, Terry, hey, thanks for the call in today. Let's get that date set in May. Problem. And, you know, even if next week, if the guys want to get on the show, call in just for a few minutes or whatever, or maybe we can have a few guys call and answer some questions. Next week, anytime it's available. This show, again, every Saturday morning, 9 to 10, and just love to have those guys on here and talk about what's going on with Renegade.
We'll make that happen. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too, buddy. Thanks very much. And we got another caller coming in, right, Josh?
Yeah, we do. I'll get them patched through. So that's very exciting on the Renegade fuels for sure.
Yeah. And not to take anything away from VP or Sunoco, they're still good products too. And there's rate, you know, people are going to be running those too from that part. So, got to have this, like I said, the American Racer tire, the Hoosier tire versus Mickey Thompson and Hoosier on the drag side. So I guess we lost one. Sorry.
Yeah,
that's him. Okay. Maybe Terry will, who was it?
Larry.
Larry.
Yeah.
Larry, give us a call back, buddy. Sorry, we had a lot to talk about there with Terry from Hoosier. So here, got a couple more questions we can get going here on coming across here too. Staying with the spark plug question on mine, since I drive it 30,000 miles a year and I have 54,000 on it, should I consider changing the spark plugs now or just wait to see how they're doing? My opinion is, and Josh, you can kind of throw that out there too. My thing is, I still think the best thing is 30,000 miles is, 90,000 miles is the right time to look at spark plugs.
Yeah, I think that varies on, I don't know what year, make, or model. You know, I think that would have a little bit of a variance on there if we're talking something quite a bit older. But yeah, around 90,000, around 90,000 would be definitely where I would look at it.
Yeah. So anyway, Don's got another comment here. Let's see what Don has to say. I ran Renegade before. It's a good product, worked really well, but it was hard to get, and glad only 200 miles away from now instead of going and getting it shipped. And Jody is a good person to work with.
There we go. We've got Terry is back on, or I'm sorry, no, Larry is back on the line with us. So Larry, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, I'm chasing a check engine light on a 2008 Lexus GX 470.
Okay.
And it's an emissions issue, and the code that it's showing or throwing is a P1445 or a P1442. And what this is, it's a secondary air injection switching valve.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two of those on the car. There's a bank one and a bank two. And these are driving me crazy. I switch one, then I switch the other one. And it's back and forth. And then it's off for a while. And then it comes back on. And apparently, and that's what the code's saying the problem is, but it must be something deeper than that.
Yeah, Larry, there's a couple of things that I'm thinking of. So that secondary air injection, basically what that is there's a pump that dumps a bunch of air back into the exhaust to basically kind of trick the sensors into leaning them out from that side of things, or they just dump a bunch of air into it to get emissions up, to meet emissions from that side of things. And so with you having both banks codes like that, I would wonder if there's probably not something going on with the valves themselves, but the actual pump that supplies the air to it, and it's just thinking that it's in the valving itself. So what really needs to happen is probably go through a flow of diagnostics, and then with the appropriate scanner, there's a lot of different self-test or diagnostic tests that can be performed as far as commanding the pump on and reading the values and making sure that the valves are switching like they need to and things like that. So, but I would say that there's probably going to be more an issue with the pump itself and maybe the amount of air or volume that it's supplying to those valves.
Yeah. And what it says both valves are stuck closed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically, it's not seeing any change at all. Can you, and I don't know, are you, as far as with you got a scanner that you're working with or just a code reader or what do you got there?
I just picked it up on the code reader.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, back in December of 17, I had this problem for the first time and I just switched one valve for the other because they're both interchangeable and the problem moved to the other one, so I knew that I had a bad switching valve, and I replaced it, and it's been good, and now it came back in just last fall, and now I just can't get a handle on it. It looks like, it also says on here about the air pump.
Yeah, about the pump itself not supplying air to it. Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It says that also. So
I would say that there's probably something going on with that, and even, you know, just let's say we identified that the pump itself wasn't working. You know, and there could be a lot of different things that could make that pump not work. Where, you know, is it not being commanded by the computer? Is it a wiring issue? Is it a power ground?
Yeah.
Is it the pump itself from that side of things? So, Larry, what we'll do, I'm going to throw a diagnostic onto your package. We'll take a look at that Lexus at no charge to you, figure out just exactly what's going on and what's causing that check engine light to come on for you, okay?
Yeah. That sounds good. I appreciate it, guys. Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call, Larry.
All right, 316. Thanks, buddy. 316-462-3673. Hey, this number, dial up in the air. Anything ailing your car, tires, brakes, batteries. Want to talk about Renegade Fuel? You want to talk about the new products? Anything in the automobile world, and you get a great price package valued over $130, only showing no, you get paid to call in on. So,
and if you're like Larry, we're going to throw a diagnostic at you, too.
There you go.
So
do us a favor, jump over on YouTube, Mel Hamilton Ford TV, and give us a subscribe there. We're trying to grow those listeners up. We've got to get to 1,000, and we got to do some more things with this show. Greatly appreciate that, and thank you very much for the people that have already done it. But if you jump over, it'd be really great for us. So, Josh, it's already 9:45. I don't know where this time flies.
It's crazy.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, 316-462-3673. This number to dial up in the air. Let's see if we got any more questions. Mike Sheridan's jumping on here trying to help Delbert with a spark plug issue. But anyway.
You got a lot of different calls this morning. We talked with James about the the spark plugs and where I guess I wanted to head with that because he had mentioned, you know, all the different advancements in spark plugs from that side. We talked about the differences in the engines from then to now and the mileage intervals on that. But I thought maybe we could talk about fuel systems as well and, you know, where they came from years ago to kind of how they have evolved and how they operate and work now. You go all the way back from carburation, which back then, what, 2, 3, 4 PSI of fuel, maybe 5, 6 as far as fuel pressure to a carburetor. It just wasn't really, it was just kind of gravity for the most part that took care of dumping that in there. And it was a really, I mean, back then it was a thing, it worked, but as far as metering it, it was really just kind of dump it in there.
Dump it in and go, right?
And then, you know, it wasn't, you're not dumping it into any specific cylinder. You're just dumping it down an intake. And then the valves, how they operate is really kind of what drew the fuel into each cylinder. And so it was a very, it worked, but a very inefficient method of what cylinder got how much and everything like that. And so we went from carburation. Then they did the TBI, which is the throttle body injection. So from that system, we increased the fuel pressure, but still had the same theory or philosophy as far as just dropping the fuel into the center of the engine. It was a little more calculated as far as how it was metered and things like that. Then we went to, you know, multi-port fuel injection. You remember those days?
Do I ever?
On a Camaro, or you thought you really had something when you had a multi-port fuel injection.
Back then, that changed the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, Josh, it's kind of like when they come up with the tune port injection on the 305 small blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the big king ding ding daddy, the 5.7 came out. Well, you really thought you had something.
Yeah. You know, I think back about, I don't know, just the horsepower and stuff that you had back then. And like, now you think about it now and like literally 4-cylinder focuses will make the horsepower that you had then. And,
it's crazy where we've come and where we're headed. I mean, that's the next thing is if you haven't come out and test drove this Mach-E, you need to come drive it.
Yeah.
You know, it's instant torque instead of a workup, you know, wind it up to torque out of a combustion engine. But it is crazy how fast it's going to be. They're coming with the Mach-E GT, which I don't know exactly when we're going to see that car for sure. But they say that thing's faster and quicker than the 5.0 GT. So,
yeah, that'll be very exciting to be able to see that and see what that thing does.
Yeah. So anyway,
so we went from we put injectors at each cylinder, but up on top of in the intake, so on top of the valves, that it still, you know, went through the valves and put a little more pressure to them, made the mist finer on the spray, or I guess, you know, instead of just a drizzle of fuel, it was more of a mist from that side, which increased again fuel efficiency, performance, horsepower, stuff like that, and had that for quite a few years. Now they switched the injector position to directly into the combustion cylinder. We went to really high pressure fuel systems to be able to again make that a much finer mist, a much more calibrated amount of fuel going into each cylinder. But just over the years, it's really come a long ways. Well, now we're at a point where we have really two injectors for each cylinder. You've got the conventional injectors for that are above the valves, but then you also have the injectors in the combustion chamber as well. Mm-hmm. So
you got 16 injectors now can control that, but they're not all running all the time. Depending on your startup mode, torque mode, horsepower mode, wherever it's independent, which injector is going inside there and everything else too and stuff. But you hear that funny noise in the background, Josh?
Good God.
Anyway, 316-462-3673. Hey, got about 10 minutes left in the show. We can still take some more callers, give you a great price package about over $130 for each and every caller. Love to answer your questions and talk about anything that might be ailing your car or something you just don't understand. I know we can get a lot of information on Google, but you can get Google and take you down the wrong page too.
That's for sure. Telling a lie there.
You know, Josh, let's go to the 2-door and 4-door Bronco.
Okay.
Been building those with customers. I got a gentleman going to be in here in about 10 minutes too to build his Bronco. And I tell you, it's amazing to me that all the forums, all the things that are out there on the Bronco that people are looking at and listening to that have so much wrong information, about what's going on with the Bronco. And here's the facts where we're at right now with Bronco. The order bank closes on the 19th of this month. I'm thinking about it the middle of April. We'll start getting who's going to get first, second, and third kind of build weeks and things for their Broncos and stuff too. Ford has told us they will ship the Bronco somewhere around the last week of May, the first week of June is kind of where we're still holding. That could change or whatever from that part, but that's kind of where it's at. And got a phone call coming in there, Josh.
Okay. I'll get them coming through.
And then everybody's thinking 22 is going to have all these changes, which only thing Ford has told me so far is it's possible that the 2.7 will have the 7-speed manual transmission behind it and a few color changes. Other than that, January 2nd, they switch over to building 22s, and who knows what will change. I know there's some other bigger Broncos coming on top of that, too, from that part. And before we get RJ in here, Rick Spittler, you're right. We forgot about the crossfire injection, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those were a nightmare to sync up, let me tell you. I remember fighting those things like a dog trying to make those things work together and everything else, too. From that part. So
see, there's some things in the past that you just want to forget.
Yeah, that was one of them.
RJ, you're on live with Under the Hood. Go ahead.
Ask about the nitric in. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We just missed you there at the beginning. Go ahead and what was your question?
Wanted to ask you about the nitric gas in your tires and how that works. I know with this cold snap that we had, my tires were fluctuating probably a good 5 to 7
pounds.
PSI.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so what nitrogen does is it's there's a lot of benefits to nitrogen. You know, the aviation industry has used it for many years. NASCAR's picked it up. You know, there's
a long time ago.
A long time ago as well. And so, you know, there's got to be some merit to it. Those guys wouldn't be using it from that side. But essentially, what it's doing in the situation that you brought up is nitrogen is not as susceptible to pressure changes when temperature changes, and so as it, you know, it was 0 degrees or whatever, compressed air would actually change pressure and be a lower pressure. And then as you drive the vehicle and heat it up and the tire warms up from the friction of it hitting the road, it expands. And so then it overinflates the tire or brings the tire back up to the specified pressure. Well, nitrogen is going to stay more consistent pressure during those temperature changes. So that's one of the best benefits. Now, in doing that and staying in consistent pressure like that, the tire itself, you know, every time the pressure increases, the shape of the tire changes as well. And so then you get premature wear on different spots of the tread, whether it's overinflated or underinflated from that side. So with nitrogen, the tread's going to wear better over a longer period of term. The other thing is nitrogen's made up of larger molecules than compressed air. And so it's not as susceptible to seeping. Now, every tire is going to seep. Every tire is going to leak. Even with nitrogen, you're going to lose nitrogen. But it slows that process down from that side of things.
Yep.
Okay.
Lots of benefits to nitrogen, for sure.
And RJ, for calling into the show today, that's one of the things that you'll receive as part of your package is a complete nitrogen service on your car. Now, what I will say is there's a couple of different ways out there that people can provide nitrogen. One of them is just out of a nitrogen tank where they just inflate the vehicle with nitrogen. Now, we actually go through and we'll do a nitrogen generation, or we have a nitrogen generator, and it's actually going to cycle the nitrogen in your tire. So we'll inflate it. Say your tire pressure is 35 PSI. We inflate it to 45, let it all out, reinflate it again to 45, let it all out. And then on the third time, we'll bring it back up and hit that tire tire pressure specification that you have there. And what that does is that increases the percentage of nitrogen in your tire, as opposed to just filling the nitrogen out of a tank. You're going to get a greater percentage of nitrogen, which is in long term better, and you get better benefits out of it that way.
All right, great, sounds good.
Hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Have a good day. All right, just a few minutes left on the show, and Fred Cross got a question, Josh. And see how you come up with this one. I'm ready.
Okay.
What kind of transmission service interval should be recommended for the interceptor utilities that are driving really hard? And I'm going to tell you, Fred, what I'm going to tell you is probably if you're driving as hard as I think that they are and stuff, and they are, I'm sure, first thing is pulling a sample of fluid. Transmission fluid starts to turn colors when it gets hot. From the heat and everything in there. And, you know, the oil is basically cooling things down. But when that color starts to change, it's time to get it out of there and get some fresh fluid in there. So I'm going to say it's probably going to be somewhere around, if you're driving it super hard, about 15,000 miles is what I'm going to guess.
I don't know. Yeah, I would definitely say, you know, 15 to 30,000 miles. Like Phil says, everybody's misconception on fluids is that it's there to lubricate. Well, it is there to lubricate, but the primary jobs of the fluid is to absorb the heat from the components in it, whether it's engine oil, coolant, transmission, you know, power steering fluid, brake fluid, that fluid's function is to absorb the heat out of those materials that they're surrounding and transfer that heat away from them. And then that heat is what makes that color, right, that fluid change colors. It doesn't matter what fluid it is. And so, basically every time that you see that fluid start to get darker or brown or change colors, you know, that's used fluid is what that is. And so, that's why, you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about, the multi-point inspection and the value on that. It's just, really, there's no set interval that anybody can put out there that says, hey, you need to do this at this mileage. And right, it's really just more of a certified technician looking at the vehicle, the observations of what they see, and going off of that on mileage interval. But yeah, I'm with you on the 15 to 30,000 mile range.
So I'm wondering, just take a sample of that fluid and see where it's at. So anyway, Josh, we're running out of time. I don't know where this hour goes. From that part, just a few minutes left here on the show. We kind of need to go through a few housekeeping things here real quick. Again, please jump over on YouTube, Mel Hamilton Ford TV, and subscribe for us. Would love for that to do. We're trying to get that to 1,000 views so we can do some more things with this podcast and stuff for everything. So please, and thank you again for doing that. Delbert Alt's always out there plugging for us. So Delbert, thank you for that. Thanks everybody for the great comments. And Greg McMurray says, air is 70% nitrogen. No, how high is nitrogen service provide? Well, Greg, great question. You're right. 70% of what we breathe today is nitrogen. You need to get it to at least 96%. There's some machines out there where generated only to 93, and you don't think that 3% makes that big of a difference, but Greg, it really does. But 96 is the best. And I tell you, I played around with that machine enough with my personal things and stuff like that too. And I can almost get it to 100, recycling it several times and everything else in that part. But yeah, Greg, great question. And thanks for that question on the nitrogen. So anyway, real quick, we need to thank the sponsors, which is Big Corner Creative for all your advertising needs. Hey, anything you need from a traditional media, social media, web page design, vehicle wraps, race car wraps, window wraps, window tint, whatever it might be, they're here to take care of your needs. As those guys at Big Corner Creative say, just Google us. So Google Big Corner Creative and see what you get. So go to rent. Hey, if you're looking for a rental car, I know Stan's really thin on the vans right now. A lot of reservations over the spring break and everything else too. So give Stan a call inside Mel Hamilton Ford. He's got the Explorers, Expeditions, whatever it might need to help you get on your spring break. And then also BG products, all the great preventative maintenance products we use right inside here at Mel Hamilton Ford. And again, Mel Hamilton Ford Racing, everybody, thanks for letting us take care of all your racing needs. And again, proud to have Renegades part of our arsenal here to help the racers, give everybody what they need to make their racing experience as good as they can. And as we used to say, Josh, the music's playing already.
There we go.
Everybody, hey, have a great weekend. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next Saturday, 9 o'clock.